Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
In your research of history, how has personal faith stood out to you in the lives of our founders or others who sought freedom from the colonial chains of England?
Well, I saw that faith played a very definitive role in America becoming free and independent from England, because I looked at a lot of the sermons from the time period and realized, wow, it was when members of the clergy were talking about independence and tyranny from the pulpit that people seemed ready to declare independence. And I really saw that come out in particular with a sermon that John Adams heard 2 months before the Declaration of Independence in May of 1776.
Do you want to tell us a little bit about that sermon?
Yes. So, you know, if it were up to John Adams, he probably would have declared independence a year earlier in 1775. And he and Abigail realized they were ready, but not everybody else was. But in May 17, 1776, he attends a sermon in Philadelphia, and Reverend George Duffield compared the plight of America and King George III to Moses and the Israelites and Pharaoh. And the realization was there was a time when God led the Israelites out of Egypt to create ultimately their own nation. And they were looking at America and saying, you know, King George III is behaving like a tyrant. And so maybe it's God's design that we should be independent from England. And when Adams heard this sermon and that parallel, he wrote Abigail that it really put an awe upon his mind that he really couldn't easily explain. I think he realized in that moment, wow, if ministers are talking about this, the people are ready. And then from Adams's point of view, I think he was trying to figure out what role he would play. Would he be like Aaron preparing the way for a Moses? Or would he be like Moses? So he was humble and willing to play that role, whatever that meant. And then, of course, we know that he helped pave the way for Thomas Jefferson to write the Declaration of Independence. Adams and Ben Franklin and Jefferson were on the committee, but Adams realized that Jefferson had this great skill at writing. And so it's kind of a beautiful sort of a story of faith where you realize he was looking for his purpose in all of this, and that's where God led him, was to call for the Declaration.
Excellent. I'm a huge fan. I have to tell you, the reason I got into history was a probably somewhat lazy high school substitute history teacher showed us the musical 1776. So, my name is Richard Henry Lee. Virginia is my home. Anyway, it totally got That's me interested awesome. In history. Before that, it was facts and dates on a page. Boring. But when I saw that musical, it made me realize the quirkiness of our founders and the struggle as well, like how they fought, how it almost didn't happen. I know that in that musical, there's a part, Jefferson writing about abolishing slavery. Frederick Douglass, years later, said, well, the Declaration of Independence basically wasn't my Declaration of Independence. My understanding was that with the Southern states, Franklin ultimately said, hey, these Southern states are not going to join the fight for independence if we include that statement in there about getting rid of slavery. Do you have any insights on that?
Yeah, I'm pretty confident that the National Archives now has that portion of the Declaration of Independence that Jefferson wrote calling to abolish slavery. He believed that King George III and the previous kings had imposed that on the colonies at the time. And I was thinking about this. The first pamphlet calling for abolishing slavery was written in 1700. And all of the states, all 13 of them, had slavery. None of them had outlawed it at the time of the American Revolution in 1776. But what happened after that? Within a year, Black Americans in Massachusetts are saying, hey, we want the Declaration to apply to us. And you begin to see these northern states outlaw it or restrict it. And so I really think the catalyst for that was put into words that all men are created equal, endowed by a creator with inalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And it seems to me that more and more people began to say, hey, wait a minute, this doesn't square with slavery. And the first state to come into the Union after the 13, number 14, was Vermont, and it came in slave-free. But I really think the beginning of the changing of people's minds about slavery really started because people looked at the Declaration and realized it didn't square. Not only did it not square with America, it didn't square with people's faith. And George Washington realized that too. And at the end of his life, you see him really struggling with it, and he chooses the will that frees his slaves. And one quote that I really love was from Ida B. Wells Barnett. I'm jumping ahead in history by 100 years, but she had been a slave, was born into it, became free, and she was an anti-lynching activist. And she explained that abolishing slavery was the great flower of the 1800s, and that abolishing slavery put the Declaration of Independence into practice. So you do have a sense that people saw that philosophical connection and that finally it was being applied to everyone. In fact, the major civil rights movements in our history, women's suffrage, Susan B. Anthony saw that the Declaration of Independence applied to women, and Martin Luther King Jr. described the Declaration of Independence as a promissory note that he was claiming in the area of civil rights. And so I think one way to evaluate civil rights today is to ask, does this philosophy, does this ideology fit within the framework of believing that everyone is created equal in the eyes of God, in the image of God? Because that's what we've believed as a nation, and that's what people of faith believe.
So do you happen to have a story of how the colonists responded upon hearing the Declaration read aloud for the first time?
Well, we know that the Declaration of Independence was printed and then distributed throughout the now 13 states. And they pulled down a statue of King George III in New York after Washington's soldiers heard the reading of the Declaration of Independence. And one of the quotes that you hear, and I'm not going to be able to get it exactly right, is that John Adams thought July 2nd would be the big day where we would celebrate with parades, because that's the day we approved the resolution for declaring independence, but it actually became the declaration itself on July 4th. And I just discovered this in reading a newspaper article from May of 1776, when Virginians, Richard Lee that you were talking about, when they gave their delegates to the Continental Congress the authorization to submit a resolution for declaring independence, they did that on May 15, 1776. And then they had a parade and they had fireworks. They called them illuminations, and they gave toasts to George Washington and the 13 independent states. And so they were having a parade for independence as early as May of 1776 in Virginia. So you can see how just that one incident, that when everybody began to realize that we were free from England, according to the Declaration, that sentiment of joy spread. One minister took off his robe and revealed his uniform, that he was going to go and be part of the army. So it was a joyous occasion. Of course, it was followed by years of conflict and fighting before it was secured.
Any words of wisdom going forward for us, people of faith listening, as we celebrate Independence Day this year?
You know, I wrote about this in my book. I have a book called Stories of Faith and Courage from the Revolutionary War. It's a 365-day devotional. Especially, I think this is fitting after having been a year with a pandemic. 17,000 soldiers died from disease, and 6,800 died from battle. So realizing the great sacrifice of people to give us liberty, that it wasn't only on the battlefield, it was also illnesses, the cost of freedom. And we've seen that. But when I think too, back to the John Adams story, he was looking for his purpose in events that were big and greater than himself. And that's what we still do today. What is our purpose? Especially when we've had the COVID-19 affect everybody. When was the last time one news story affected every single person in the United States personally in some way? We've had to adjust our lives. And so I think declaring freedom from that reminding ourselves that we are free people and that God has a purpose for us right now, July 2021. And maybe that purpose is just to celebrate our freedom with our friends and family and to thank God for this gift of liberty that He gave us through the United States of America.